This evening, I'd like to call your attention to a passage in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Over and over in Scripture, God reveals himself to us as being the Lord God Almighty. And what a blessing it is for us to have that knowledge. Brother Bob, I've heard it said that there are no atheists in foxholes. Now, the children here tonight may not know what a foxhole is, but it would be something that soldiers would dig during battle and get into those holes to protect themselves from the enemy. And those foxholes were very helpful during past wars. And if a man was in one of those and the enemy was firing at him, he'd probably find himself calling out to a higher power. But it shouldn't take troubles and trials of life to cause us to be aware of God's presence and our need for him. The heavens declare his glory. I think I said this last Sunday, if there was ever a time when there was nothing, there would be nothing now. Because nothing cannot produce anything. The atheist has to say that nothing and nothing got together and exploded into something. Now that would take a lot more faith than I have to believe in that. But it's easy for me to believe that an eternal, self-existent God, and I can't comprehend that, but by faith I believe it, that an eternal, self-existent God who came from nowhere, he's going nowhere, he dwells in eternity, and he just said, let it be, and it was so. And he gave us that account in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And I imagine the first chapter of Genesis has been attacked by the enemy as much as any part of the Bible. Because if you read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, you won't have any trouble believing anything else in the Bible. If God is big enough to create the heaven and the earth out of nothing, then he's surely able to take care of Jonah for 3 days in the belly of a fish. That's no problem with God. God has no problem dividing the waters of the Red Sea and letting the Israelites go through and then drowning the Egyptians. Yes, if you believe in Genesis 1 and 1, you won't have any trouble believing anything else in the Bible. So God would say, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. God is not saying that there's anything wrong with people being wise. There's nothing wrong with people being mighty or strong. There's nothing wrong with people being rich. Nothing wrong with wisdom, power, and riches. But there is a problem with us glorying in our wisdom or in our might or in our riches. We don't want to glory in those things. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. What a blessing it is, beloved, for you and me to be able to know there is a God that's ruling over the heavens and the earth. And he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And someday he's coming back to get us, and take us all to heaven to be with him forever and ever in a glorified state. I want to tell you, if you believe that and hold on to that, it will be the greatest blessing that you will ever have in this world. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And that's quite a contrast from us. I want to turn with you just a moment to Isaiah chapter 40 and begin reading in verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord our God shall stand forever. Here in this prophecy, God is telling all of us that by nature, in these earthen bodies, we're like grass. We're going to wither and we're going to die. But then notice, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up in the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. That's what we do here at Cool Springs every time we meet. Hopefully, that is to behold our God. Did y'all notice the songs we were singing tonight? They were all about him. There wasn't a verse in these hymns about you and me, unless it was describing some frailty. It's all about him. Our good brother tonight came forward and talked to us about God. And when he prayed to God. And this book is all about God. And preachers are supposed to be holding him up where the people can see him. So he says, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Please, beloved, don't get obsessed with yourself, whether good or bad. You know, the old saying, when I was 20 years old, I really cared what people thought about me. I was worried about it. I was obsessed about it. I thought people were talking about me, whispering about me. When I got to be 40, I got to where I didn't care what people thought about me. And by the time I got 60, I found out they hadn't even been thinking about me at all. Can I get a witness? How many of y'all realize all those people you think are talking about you, they're probably worried about who's talking about them. You know, something we all need to remember is that your critics have critics. So don't be obsessed with what people think about you. Chances are they're not thinking about you. Really? I'm serious. They say there's 7 billion people on this earth. How many out of that 7 billion even know we exist? Just a few hundred. And out of a few hundred that know us, I can tell you most of them aren't thinking about us. Now, we ought to think about one another when somebody has asked for prayer. Would y'all agree? Keep your prayer list and think about them in a good way and pray for them. But don't be out talking about people and running them down and criticizing them. And don't worry about what people are thinking about you, because they're probably thinking about themselves more than they're thinking about you. But what we need to do is to behold your God. Keep your focus on him and not on the things of this earth. I tell you, brethren and sisters, it's a wonderful blessing when God's people can keep their focus on God. But, you know, life gets busy and life has a lot of challenges and a lot of trouble. We had a long prayer list tonight, and all of these people on the prayer list are or facing surgery or sickness of one kind or another, and life just gets real busy and complicated. And sometimes we just forget God. We don't keep Him on our minds. And we shouldn't allow that. We should really spend a little time every morning. How many of y'all have ever had a bad day? You had a flat tire early in the morning, or the lawnmower wouldn't work, or you got fired from your job. That was a bad day. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen to us. Have a fender bender, get your hand broke. I mean, there's a lot of things that can cause us to have bad days. But let me tell you, the best way to get your day started right, and I know you say, well, I expect the preacher to say this, but I'm just going to tell you, it works. Spend a little time in prayer with your Heavenly Father. Just talk to Him. You don't have to use big words. You don't have, God is not impressed with our vocabulary. You think a God who knows all is going to be impressed with our eloquence? No. I tell you what touches Him, our trust in Him, our leaning on Him. How many times did Jesus say in the four Gospels, oh, ye of little holiness, or oh, ye of little fasting, or, oh, ye of little giving. No. But over and over, He said to His disciples, oh, ye of little faith. Now, little faith's better than no faith, but I tell you what Jesus wants out of us, great faith. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to lean on Him. And I want to tell you, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that you and I could ever think of in this life. And a good way to start the morning is to start it off talking to Him a little, read a few verses from the Holy Scriptures. The Psalms is a good place for morning devotions. I went in the other morning and told Nelda, I said, I just heard the best sermon. She said, was it on grace alone? I said, no. She said, well, was it on the radio or the TV? I said, no. She said, where was it? I said, I put up a bird feeder right outside the window where my favorite chair is, and I've been feeding the birds for the last 3 weeks. It's gonna get expensive. You know, they have a big appetite. They can just wipe out a big bird feeder in about 3 or 4 days. But let me tell you, those birds just preaching to me. And you know what they're saying to Brother Sam? God is providing for us. You think about all the birds that are on this planet, all over, everywhere you've ever been, there's going to be birds. Who's taking care of them? Not the government. And think about the fish. You brethren who love the fish in the ocean. I know y'all are thankful God loved fish because He created a lot of them, all different kinds. And you know who's feeding them? It's not some zoo somewhere. I love the zoo. I'll tell you one thing I miss about Birmingham, and that was the Birmingham Zoo. I went over there a lot, and I tell you, those animals just speak to me. God was good to give us animals. Would y'all agree with that? Especially dogs. Somebody said the other day, we don't really deserve dogs. God was good to just give us dogs. You know what a dog can teach you? He can teach you what love is. And what kindness is and what patience is. God takes care of the birds and the fish and the lions and the tigers. He's taking care of a great big zoo. And I want to tell you, He's taking care of you and me. We may not be aware of how God is taking care of us, but Jesus Himself, the greatest teacher that ever lived, the wisest man that ever walked on this earth, told us to consider the lilies of the field, to consider the birds of the air. What does it mean to consider something? It doesn't mean to just glance at them and go on. It means to stop and give your attention and think about them. Consider. Wow. Jesus said, I want you to consider the birds and consider the lilies. Your Father takes care of them. and he takes care of the lilies. He dresses them up. I'm telling you, he set Solomon in all his glory. And let me tell you, Solomon had a lot of human glory, and he dressed up. When Solomon got dressed in the morning, brother, he dressed up like a king. But Jesus said Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. There was a sister down on 112. She was a member at Trail Branch Church. And she was a sister to Sister Clara Lord. I can't remember her name right now. Brother Bob would know her. But she was a member of Trail Branch. And she had about 200 different varieties of daylilies in her yard. And I said to her one day, I said, "Dear sister, you got all these lilies out there just preaching to you. They're all beautiful. Who designed them?" God. Now, God takes care of the lilies and God takes care of the sparrows, but did you know something? You are worth a lot more than the sparrows and the lilies. You know why I know that? Because He gave His Son to die for you. So that someday, when this journey is over, you and I will be with Him in heaven. Now, He proved that He loved us beyond our comprehension. And we rejoice in Him today. And beloved, we worship a God that has all power. He doesn't need what's in your billfold. He doesn't need what's in your hand. He is God. He has all power. He does whatsoever He pleases. Isn't that what the Bible says? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Now that doesn't mean that everything that happens on this earth pleases God. No, but I want to tell you, whatever God does pleases Him. Everything He's ever done just pleased Him. When He created the heaven and the earth, He said, "It's good, and it's very good." He looks at a lot that I do and says, "That's a mess, Sam." But I want to tell you, what He does pleases Him. Aren't y'all glad about that tonight? There are people in the world who say that everything that happens is according to God's plan. And that's not true, beloved. I had a friend who lived in Washington, D.C., Elder Jim Compton. I don't know if he ever visited here in this area or not. He lived to be 100 years old. And he owned the nearest retail business to the White House, Compton's Jewelers. He grew up in poverty down in Virginia. He moved to Washington, D.C. and learned how to fix clocks. And started a jewelry store, and he worked on all the clocks in the Capitol building. He was a genius of a man, really was. He was an incredible man. Lived to be 100. He was a preacher for the Old Baptist. One day he was working there in the Capitol building on one of those clocks, and he got in conversation with a congressman who found out that Brother Jim was a primitive Baptist. And he said, "You know," he said, I'm just like you all. I believe what is to be will be." Have y'all ever heard that? Now let's think about that expression a moment. What is to be will be. Well, I want to tell you, I believe that. If something is to be, it's going to be. But the only way it could be is that God sees to it that it's going to be. What is to be will be. And Brother Jim said to this congressman, he said, "I agree, what is to be will be, but not everything that is was meant to be." And he said that congressman left scratching his head. He'd never thought about that. Not everything that happens was meant to be on this earth. A lot of things displeasing to God. But I'm glad to tell y'all that our God is in His heavens. And when it's all over, He's going to fix it all. It's going to be just right. And you and I ought to be happy today that we are blessed to know Him. "Let him that glorieth in this, that he knoweth me, that he understandeth me, that he has some knowledge of me in this earth." In Romans chapter 8, one of the great chapters of the Bible, one that we love and camp out in a lot, that chapter shows us the brokenness of the human race. It shows us that we're all in a dying state and a broken state in this world. But all brothers and sisters, let me tell you, the closing of that chapter is so eloquent. Paul would say, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth shall ever be able to separate us from what? From the love of God. And I want to tell you tonight, God's love for us is a perfect love. Only God could love as He loves. You and I, our love for God would be represented by a candle burning in the dark. His love for us would be like the noonday sun. His love is so much beyond human love, we can't begin to comprehend it. But once you know a little bit about it, let me tell you, you're going to feel safe in His love. I want us to sing that song, Brother Donnie, Safe in His Love. How many of y'all feel safe in His love? I tell you, He is going to watch over us and take care of us. And beloved, the more we know about His love for us, the more we want to love Him. I heard a man praying the other day, and he said, God, he said, I want to confess that I don't love You with all my heart like I should. How many of us could confess the same thing? But how many of us want to grow in our love for Him? Because to know Him is to love Him. The more you know about Him, and this book will tell you a lot about Him, His nature, His creation will tell you a lot about Him. And you and I, you know, the two great commandments in Scripture, the disciples come, or the Pharisees come to Jesus, and they're going to test Him. They're going to try to trick Him up. And they say, which is the greatest commandment? Of all the commandments, which is the greatest? And I'm sure they're thinking, well, He's going to say, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit adultery. What would you say tonight is the greatest of all the commandments? Jesus shocked them when He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the second commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I want to tell you, beloved, if you want your life to really be enjoyable, I want to tell you, you need to get your love life in order. Let's say a man loves his wife, he loves his kids, he loves his job, he loves his hobby, whether it's fishing or hunting or playing golf. You know, he loves the country. And you say, well, which one of those do you love most? It's good that a man loves his wife, his kids, his family, his job, his home, his country, his hobbies. That's all good. But you ask him, what? Which one do you love the most? He says, well, I love playing golf most of all. See, he got a problem. He got a big problem. He says, well, I love my job. I love my wife. I love my kids. But I love my job most of all. That brother's got a real problem. But first of all, we ought to love Him. Because I want to tell you, we live and move and have our being in Him. If God just backed away, just left us, what do you reckon would happen to the planet Earth? It would wobble out of its orbit. We wouldn't last 5 seconds. We live, we move, we have our being in Him. We ought to love Him. He gave His Son to die for us. You want to love Him more? Keep your mind on Jesus. I tell you another song I wish we'd sing. I want to love Him more. How many of y'all? Well, we're going to close tonight and give an opportunity. If you're here tonight and you love Him, and beloved, let me tell you, I know you love Him, or you wouldn't be here on a Sunday night. There's a lot of things y'all could be doing on a Sunday night besides being at Cool Springs Church. Brother Bob and them drove up here from, I don't remember where they live. He's a truck driver, so he doesn't mind riding, but I would think he would drive up here on a Sunday night after riding all week in a truck. I talked to him one day this week. He was, I think, in Savannah, Georgia. I tell you, I believe I'd just stay at home. Except when I got to thinking about Jesus. And they're going to be worshiping him up there at Cool Springs tonight. And I want to be there. And I want to help them to worship my Savior. Is that why y'all are here tonight? I believe it is. I don't think y'all, you wouldn't want to come over here and hear me again. Y'all done about heard everything I've got to say and heard it two or three times. But you see, it's all about him. Thank y'all for your good attention. What song have we decided on? What number?
Yeah, which one do you want?
Safe in his love. Let's sing about his love.
263.
263. I remember when they added this song to the hymn book. I was just a young guy. I'd never heard it. But I tell you, I fell in love with this song when I was young. Safe in his love. Brother B.W. Phillips loved this song. Safe in his love. Wow.